We've been on a journey about faith that moves. We're almost near the end. There's only 2 weeks left before we jump into our Christmas series. But to lean into this week's message, I have to ask you this question. Have you ever had one of those weeks where everything you touch breaks? Even when you're trying your best, you go out there and you're like, I'm ready to start the car and the car doesn't start. You think it's about to start and then you get it going and then you park it somewhere and somebody else bumps into you. You know, they scratch the paint up. Then you're on your way into work and you're walking your way in and all of a sudden it's like this dark cloud is following you. It's raining or on a day as cold as this morning, it's snowing. And everything it does, it just seems like no matter where you go, there is a storm cloud above you. Ever had those days, those weeks, those months? And for some, you might even feel like I'm living that decade. You're living all the way through it. But the question becomes this morning, what do we do when we're in the midst of it? What do we do when we're in the midst of the storm season? Where it always feels like we're stepping in puddles, the rain is pouring down. How do we respond as followers of Christ? How are we supposed to respond? Are we supposed to just deny the reality that sometimes life seems like it sucks? Do we just put our head in the sand? Or do we get in the garden and eat worms and just sit there and complain and grumble? If we're honest with ourselves this morning, I think many of us have done that from time to time. We're like, my day's terrible, my next day's terrible, and it's like this cloud is always following me, and all we can do is complain and grumble. But I don't think that is what actually Christ would want from us. I don't think that's his best plan for our lives. And so this morning, I want to go on a bit of a journey about how can we exercise our faith in the midst of the storms. How can we move from complaining or from fear or from frustration to instead faith? And when we actually do that, what can it look like on a regular basis? And what kind of power comes with changing from fear to faith, from complaining to praise? To help us do that this morning, we want to look at an account where some other people were doing all the right things. They actually went where God had told them to go. God himself, through a vision, had told them, this is where you should go. They follow through on it, and while they are there, doing Christ's work, doing the kingdom work, partnering with him, exercising their faith, setting people free, everything goes wrong, but this is how they respond. If you wouldn't mind going with me, we're going to go to Acts 16, looking at a famous account from Scripture, as we learn what it means to really sing in the rain. Because if you're taking notes, that's the title of our message this morning. Singing in the rain. Looking from Acts 16, starting at verse 16 through to 36. It's a large portion of text, but I believe we need to read all of it this morning. So this is what it said. One day as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved." This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And instantly it left her. Her master's hope of wealth were now shattered, so they grabbed Paul and Silas, the main characters, their main people in our account this morning. They grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. "The whole city is in uproar because of these Jews," they shouted to the city officials. "They are teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice." A mob quickly formed around Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wood rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape, so the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and doing what? Singing hymns to God, or another translation. They were praying and praising, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundation. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself. We're all here." The jailer called for the lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved along with everyone in your household." And they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in the household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in the household were immediately baptized. He brought them into the house and set a meal before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. The next morning, the city officials sent to the police to tell the jailer, "Let these men go." So the jailer told Paul, "The city officials have said you and Silas are free to leave. Go in peace." If you see the end of the story, Paul had a different idea. But we want to lean into these 20 verses of text this morning. We see Paul and Silas, they're bringing the gospel to a new area. God has directed them there. They're doing everything right, following all the right steps. And as they're going to do what God's asked them, they're being sort of annoyed by this nuisance. There's this young girl who many were taking advantage of. They were taking advantage of for profit. And so there was a spirit upon her that was sort of causing harm, causing not only to her, but exasperating the men of God as they're walking their way. So everywhere they would go, there would be this lady and this pest. She'd be saying, "Come on, come on," all these things. And finally, Paul along the journey says, "Be gone in the name of Jesus," and the spirit leaves. This girl is set free. We would think that's a good thing, right? But where do they end up? Now beaten, imprisoned, and they're in the innermost dungeon part of the jail. It's not a real nice jail. They're in stocks. Probably the mice are having little nibbles on their toes. All those moments where they're in here, it's cold, it's musty, it's dark. And I'm sure in those moments they're sitting there thinking, "Are you kidding me, God? This is what I get for doing what you asked me to do?" Have you ever thought that? Ever wondered that? You say, "I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to get my life right. I'm going to do everything straight. I'm going to do all these things." And then the next day, it's like everything all falls apart. And you're like, "Come on, God, I thought this was going to get better. I thought this was going to be easier. I'm now following you." We step out after a Sunday and we go share the good news with somebody only for it to feel like everything around us is falling apart. But how do we respond? How should we respond? I believe this morning, if we realize that instead of complaining, instead of grumbling, instead of having those moments where our faith is evaporating, instead we would shift to praise. There is power that comes when we praise. There's power that comes when we even join together like we did this morning and begin to give him praise, and it shifts our focus as we're going to see. So this morning, if you're taking notes, the three truths that we're going to look at are all about the power that happens when we praise. So this morning, if you feel like there is a cloud upon your head, if you're in the middle of a storm, I believe there is breakthrough that comes when we learn the truths that we're going to apply this morning, which is praise cuts through the storms. Praise helps us see through the clouds in our first truth. The first thing that it said that Paul and Silas did about midnight, in that midnight season, they've been beaten, they're tired, they're worn out, they're frustrated, they're probably a little bit fearful of what can happen, and it says the first thing that they did was not go to sleep, not complain, but they began to pray and they began to sing. They began to give praise. My question for you this morning is, when life is raining, do you sing in the rain? Or do you grumble in the puddles? Do you sing when everything's falling apart? And it's hard. Understand, this is hard. This would have been hard. This is an intentional posture on their part. When everything's falling apart, it's so easy to sit in the puddle and say, "This sucks." But Paul and Silas sat there and said, "No. Yes, my situation is not ideal. Yes, my situation is not as I would want it to be. Yes, I'm in the middle of the worst time, in my worst moment. It seems like the worst case scenario of possibilities. But in that moment, the first thing that they do is they pray and they praise. But why would they do that? Because I believe they realize something that we need to realize. That when we praise, when we give God his honor and his glory, even in the midst of our toughest seasons, it starts to cut through the clouds. We start to see things a little bit different. Instead of seeing the dark clouds, we see on the other side. We start to see through those clouds to the hope that is on the horizon. So the truth that we have to apply this morning, if we're going to see through the clouds through our praise, is first realizing that praise doesn't make your problems disappear. And if you've lived a few days on this earth, we all can say amen. Because just because we praise doesn't mean that life is going to be easier. Just because we came here this morning or watched online doesn't instantly mean that the health situation went away, doesn't mean that your bank account got better, doesn't mean that every one of your relationships that were estranged got better. But what it does do is when we begin to praise, it doesn't make your problems disappear, but it invites the provider into it. It invites him, it invites heaven, it invites God, the Father, into our situation. Because in that moment, we start to shift our focus off of the problem and instead onto the provider. Instead of the thing that is holding us down, that circumstance, we start to see the opportunity for God to move in our lives and through our lives. It's a shift of perspective, as we've been talking about, because faith really is a shift of perspective. When we talked a little about having a different perspective, when we talked about the prophet of old, where he felt like he was surrounded, and they began to pray, open their eyes, it's that same truth. Just like prayer, praise, when we begin to give God the honor and the glory that he so deserves, it shifts our focus off of the problem that we're in to the God who is greater. And so that's why there is such power in it. They're in the midst of it. It would have been difficult. They would have had every right to say, I'm tired, I'm grumpy, I'm sad, I don't have a Snickers, I don't have any of those moments, I'm just going to have a rest. But they exercised their faith. They started to put their faith that was on the inside into motion. They started to express it. They started to say, I don't see right now the bright moment, but I know that when I praise, I know that when I start to shift my eyes and shift my heart, not to what is in front of me, but to the one who is above me, to the one who is above all, things will start to change. This morning, if you feel like you can't see anything but a cloud, I want to challenge you to begin to give him praise. Begin to shift your eyes and to shift your focus to a God who is near, a God who cares, a God who is for you, a God who has made promises that we can hold to. Begin to turn your focus onto that. Begin to turn your focus onto the truth of the reality of who it is. Because in those moments, we have to realize what one person once said, praise isn't a denial of reality. It's a declaration of a greater reality. Let me repeat that to you. Praise isn't a denial of reality, it's a declaration of a greater reality. We're declaring the truth and the promises of the kingdom of God. So this morning, if you came in here, and I know there are some in this place and some online that are battling through tough seasons of grief, tough seasons of loss, you're asking big, hard questions. You've been walking all the right steps, all the right choices, partnering with the kingdom, partnering with him, and you're still having that diagnosis. You still heard the word that brings fear to almost every person's hearts. Some in this place and some online today have heard those words, you've got cancer, and instantly it grips our hearts with fear. And in those moments, it's really hard to sit there and say, I want to praise. I want to give glory in those moments because you're battling the reality of what the doctors have said, and it's true. But when we praise, even in the midst of our storm, even in the midst of our heartache, even in the midst of our pain, We're not denying the heartache. We're not denying what we're up against. We're not even denying that in those moments we actually might have a little bit of fear. But what we are saying is, I believe in a God whose promises are true. I believe in a God who is exceedingly abundantly more than able. And we start to shift our focus and say, I'm looking to a greater reality. Whether here and in eternity, there will be healing. There will be wholeness. There will be breakthrough. And it starts to fill our lives and our hearts with praise and with faith, because our eyes have shifted off of what we are up against into the one that we know is greater. That's why there's power in praise. Paul and Silas weren't saying that it didn't suck. Paul and Silas were saying, God, I need you in this. Holy Spirit, I need your help in the midst of this. So when we praise, we are inviting heaven into our situation. Even the Lord's Prayer, we would say, on earth as it is in heaven. What we are inviting is a glimpse of the realities of heaven into our lives. We're saying, God, in your kingdom coming. And we have yet a part of it right now, but we know it's not the fullness of it. We are inviting that into our lives as we praise. We're saying, God, I need you in this situation. I need you in this circumstance. I can't do this on my own, but I have a faith in you. We see in Psalm 22, verse 3, it says that God inhabits the praises of his people. So when we praise, God draws near. So when you're in the darkest storm, when it seems like the snow clouds or the rain clouds are following you, when we praise, heaven leans in. He draws near. A closer awareness of his presence. Because yes, God is always here, but it's a closeness, an awareness of his presence is drawing near when we praise. Our eyes and our hearts become in tune with a God who is leaning towards us, who is meeting us in our mess. And it's that moment where all of a sudden it reframes our perspective from frustration to faith. It starts to rise up in us that our God is not asleep at the wheel, because he's not. We start to realize that he is awake, that he is well, that he is drawing near to us. And our eyes and our hearts starts to come alive and awake to say, my God is with me, my God is for me. I don't know about you, but sometimes in the dark seasons, we need to see that truth. We need to know that truth. Today, if you're in a dark season, know that truth. That truth is from the Word of God. It's without error. That's a promise you can hold to. There was a famous saint, he once said this, Saint Basil. There is a twofold movement of faith. We worship the Spirit, and the Spirit enables our worship. As we have faith in God, God comes down and increases our faith. That's the joy of worship and praise. Even what we did this morning, it's a twofold movement. As we offer up our praise and faith, and we say, God, I trust you. You are good. Your promises are yes and amen. When we declare that truth, we know from Scripture that he draws near, that he inhabits those praises. And as the Spirit comes and instills inside of us, refreshes, restores, renews, in that moment our faith begins to grow, and all of a sudden it grows within us. We want to give him more praise, and he bestows more on us, and we see this beautiful movement. Blake once said, we become what we behold. In those moments when we start to turn our eyes on him, our faith rises, because we see the goodness of our God. We see the grace of our God, the loving kindness of our God. And in that moment, we start to look a little bit more like him. That the one who was on the cross, dying for our sin, when he deserved to say to everyone else, you get what you deserve, his words were, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. When we begin to praise in the darkest of our storms, the world around us takes notice and says, this doesn't make sense. There's something different. There's something about them. There's something about her or him that I want, because it doesn't equate to the systems and the culture of our world. That's why the second truth is, when we begin to praise, we realize that praise is contagious. When we start to praise in the midst of our storm, not only does it cut through the storm, but it starts to spread. It says in verse 25, and the other prisoners were doing what? They were listening to them. Let's be real for a few moments. We are okay to be real? We're okay? You can respond back. You're having a bad day. You're not with the greatest company. You've just been put in the inner dungeon of the jail. The worst of the worst. You're in stocks. Usually, they're probably not used to people coming into the stocks and then starting up their own little praise service. I don't think they were used to people coming in and saying, God is good, God is great, all those different things. I don't think they're singing all these songs. I'm thinking probably in that moment, they're sitting there saying, what are these guys on? What did they take? They've lost it. I think their initial response was probably like, this is nuts. They are losing it. They are mad. And then after a few moments, they're like, these guys aren't mad. They heard their praise. They heard their prayers. And it started to catch their attention. It started to sort of be a ray of sunshine in the darkest of stormiest of days. They're like, I wish I had that hope. Could you imagine the prayers ringing forth? They're like, God's so good. God, you're gracious. God, no matter what happens, you're with me. You're for me. I'm the head, not the tail. No matter what someone does against me, it doesn't matter because I'm with you. And I don't think Paul was a quiet guy. It doesn't sort of seem like it through his letters. And so he's singing forth. All the rest could hear, and it's starting to bubble up inside of them. Another way of looking at it is, I believe that they were preaching through their praise. So if you do me a favor, say, neighbor, it's time to preach through our praise. Say to your other neighbor, say, neighbor, you're a preacher. Because today, no matter what you are going through, you have the opportunity to be a preacher. Because God has positioned you, even in the midst of your darkest storm, to have a testimony to preach through your praise. Because when we praise through the storm, we begin to preach of God's goodness, His sustaining grace, His strength, His redemption, His hope, preach of His faith. Today, what you are going through might be the greatest opportunity to share the goodness of our God to your family, to your friends, to your coworkers. Because in the moment that we begin to preach through our praise, people take note. One of the ladies in one of our former churches, she was going through a cancer diagnosis. She was just a positive lady, beautiful lady. And after she went through and she'd had some loss in her life, she lost her husband. She had gone through other loss earlier in her life. And she sat there and said, I can't control this. I know my God can heal me if He wants to. But if not, He's got a plan. And I remember talking with her and hearing her share of this account. And I could just see this faith rise up. And she wasn't a big lady. She was a small lady, beautiful senior lady. And she goes, she says, Pastor, I looked at like my mission field. If I sat in that chair and other people were in that chair, I was going to praise them through the storm. By the time it was all done, as she went through that journey, she had led multiple people that, and family members that were walking through that journey to Jesus Christ. Because over it, they said, where is your hope? And she would tell of her story of being set free from an addiction, tell of the story of walking through the loss of her husband and still having hope, still finding joy in life, and the only answer to her struggle and the only answer to her storm was Jesus Christ. And others said, I want what you have. When she came in with hope, she came in with boldness. Even in her worst season, she was preaching through her storm. She was preaching through her praise, and others took note. Because church, we're going to be up against it. Jesus said that we will go through trials. We will go through temptations. It is a reality of the world that we are living. We live in a fallen world. There is going to be struggles. There's going to be storms. There's going to be moments where you say, I don't know where else to turn or where else to go. But if we would choose today to be men and women of faith, that we would choose today to preach in the middle and preach through our praise, watch what could happen. because the world around us is watching. They're looking for people that in the tough seasons, we don't deny the reality of the situation we're up against. Understand, we're not saying deny the reality, but we're turning our eyes to the greater reality that we know and we have a God who is more than able, a God who is with us, a God who will not forsake us, a God whose every promise is true, a God whose words are yes and amen. We sang about it this morning. There are many in our lives and around our lives that are in the innermost parts of that dungeon. Just like Paul and Silas, there's many around us that are in stocks, that are in chains. They need to be set free, and they don't know where to turn. They don't know where to go. But in those moments, instead of seeing the storm as sort of this bad season, instead seeing it as an opportunity to praise him, an opportunity to be a little bit contagious, an opportunity to spread the goodness of our God, all of a sudden it changes. Your neighbor, your family member, your friend may just need to see you praising in the middle of a storm. So let's go back to our account this morning. What was the result of them praising through the storm? What was the result of them actually rising up in faith in the toughest of seasons? Not only did they listen, but as all of a sudden the chains broke free, the doors opened, the jailer begins to panic. Because the jailer was responsible. If he lost a prisoner, it was his life instead. So he's like, I'm going to take my life instead of them taking my life. Paul screams out, relax, relax, chill out. We're all here. Did you get this account? If you were in prison, many were about to face death, and the doors open. And the chains break off. 1 + 1 = 2. Everybody should go running out of those places. Jailbreak, even in games, when I used to do youth, we'd play capture the flag and people would be in their jail or in their base and you would say jailbreak. I didn't see in all these years everybody say, nah, I just don't really want to go this time. They ran and they ran crazily all over the place. That would have been the account of what's happening here, but instead it said that we're all here. Why did they stay? Because it was contagious. They said, we know it was your prayer and your praise that brought the breakthrough and the freedom. We want what you have. We can have all these other things, and we're probably going to end up back in here, but you guys were throwing me for a loop here. You're singing, you're praying, you're doing all these things. You kept doing it in your midnight season in the worst possible scenario. We heard about your account. You did nothing wrong. You could have been grumbling, complaining, saying, I'm going to get even. I'm going to get justice. I'm going to do all those things. But instead, you're praying and you're praising. We want what you have. So they stay. They hear the goodness. They hear the truth. In those moments when we don't underestimate how your praise encourages others to trust God and to not give up. That jailer was about to lose his life, but instead he found life. You see that? He was about to take his own life, but because of the praise, because of the prayers, everyone stays and Paul screams out, don't go, don't do it, we're all here. And then he finds life. In the moment of feeling like all else is lost and he's about to give up, hope comes. Faith rises. Today, if you're in that situation where you feel like you're ready to give up, we're all here. We're going to praise through the midst of it. Praise in our prison. We're preaching through our praise. Don't give up. Hope is here. He's here. Faith is rising. And it goes to the last truth this morning. So we've learned two things. Hopefully a few more, but two main things. First one, praise helps us cut through the dark clouds. Secondly, praise is contagious. Yours and mine, praise, hopefully is going to be contagious. It's one of the only good times you can say you were contagious. But the last one, praise brings freedom. Praise brings freedom. How many have ever come into church and you're just having a bad day In the first song, you're like, I'm here because I have to be. Pastor's checking. Then you're like, well, you know, I should be a good example for my kids, so I'm going to give the T-Rex arms. And you make it through like the first song, and you're like, God's good. And you're like, no, not today. He doesn't feel like it. Then you're about halfway through. The Spirit starts speaking to your heart. He starts breaking us down, the hurt, the loss. You feel the softness of his presence. He starts to free us from some of those chains. He starts to set us free. The problems might not have gone away, but our perspective shifts. And we start, yeah, God, you are good. It might not feel like it today, but I remember. And I'm going to hold to that when you broke through in that situation. And I know your promises that I've got hope eternal. So I'm going to hold to that today. I'm going to hold to that truth. And all of a sudden, you can't help but like, yeah, God, you're good. It starts to bring freedom in our lives. We see it every week on a Sunday, but it's supposed to be every day. Imagine if in our lives we realize the truth that praise brings freedom. Because it said that through their praise, the foundations of the earth, the foundations were shaken, and every chain on every person falls off. There are some things in your life, there are some things in your family's life, there's some things in our community's life, and in your workplace or school's life that will only be unlocked through prayer and praise. It's not going to be by doing being more hands and feet. It's not going to be done by striving. It's going to come down to those moments of I'm going to praise in the midst of the storm. I'm going to pray and I'm going to intercede. I'm going to fast. I'm going to lean in believing that God, we know that you move, that everything changes when we lean in the midst of that, because freedom comes and breakthrough comes at the sound of his voice, but us partnering with him through prayer and through praise. In your life, what could be unlocked today, tomorrow, in this coming week, if in the midst of the storm we would pray and we would praise? I don't know that for your life. I know there's some things for mine that I want to be the problem solver. I want to do all the hard work, but I've had to realize that only some things can change through prayer and through praise. That when it's hard and through the tears are running down my face, I gotta say, God, you're good. I don't know why this is going on, but God, I know that you are true. I know that you're faithful. I know that you're righteous and you're just. I trust you. I exercise my faith today to God to say, I trust you. I'm with you. He's calling us to lean into those moments, to lean up, because chains are broken, hearts are open, and even the jailer in that moment comes to a knowledge of faith. Wasn't there a really cool moment? The guy who was about to take his life gets saved, but his whole family gets saved. There is freedom that will come to our church, freedom that will come to your family, freedom that's going to come to your school or your workplace or a community if we would be a people of prayer and a people of praise. Because when we do that, we see throughout Scripture, we partner. We join with all of heaven. We join with what God is doing, and we say, we're in. And he moves because he inhabits the praises of his people. I don't know about you, but I want to be a person of praise and prayer. That in the midst of the storm, I don't sit in the puddle and say, oh, I'm done. God, I'm doing all the right things, but you're doing all the wrong things. Instead, I want to be a person of praise. I want to be a person of prayer that leans in, because when we do, heaven moves, chains break, and faith rises. So what can we do this week before we pray? What can we do to be a person of praise, to break through those clouds? I believe there's three practical things that we can do, even starting today. First one, start your day with a song. And some of you are like, Pastor, you never heard me sing. Do it in the shower. Acoustics are fantastic in there. Okay, so this week, play a worship song. Join in, make a joyful noise. It didn't say it was a good noise, but make a joyful noise. Join into that moment. You might be like, Pastor, I just don't do that. I'm not a singer. Get over it. I don't think Paul and Silas, they might not have been singers. In that moment, it's not about how good we can do. It's about us partnering and giving the one who deserves praise, praise. No matter the situation, our God always deserves praise. He is always deserving. He is always worthy. He deserves our praise in the good and the bad season. It's not denying that you're having a bad day or a bad week or a bad year, but it's actually saying, I know this is true, but I know the one who is above all things. He is always deserving. Give him praise. And in those moments, what we are doing is we're saying, I invite you into that situation. Come, come Holy Spirit. Come Jesus, move in my life, move in that situation. I can't do it on my own. Number two, sing in the rain. If it's tough, if it's hard, begin to give him praise and thanks no matter what. So how can we do that? I want you to write down, we've been doing this a few weeks because we got to get better at it, myself included. I want you to write down at least two things every day that you are thankful for. And if you're having a really tough week, a really tough moment, find a promise from Scripture and hold to that. Write that down, put it in your notes, put in a voice memo that God's with me. He's not going to leave me. Hold to that and hold on and sing in the rain. It might be storming all around you, but hold to that truth. Lastly, brighten someone else's day. Share of a time where God met you in your storm. Encourage someone around you. Maybe it's a church family. Maybe it's someone that you know, your neighbor. You know they're in the midst of a storm and it's pouring on their lives. Come and encourage them with a time that God met you. Encourage them with hope. Do what Paul did with that jailer. They're all here. They're all here. Don't give up. And then speak life and hope and faith into their situation. Because how many know God's still God and he's a good God? Church family, if you would stand with me as we pray. Lord, this morning we thank you so much for who you are. Lord, we know even in our own church family and those maybe online, there's some today that probably feel like Paul and Silas did as they were being put deep into the heart of that prison. They might have been sitting there saying like, why me? Why now? I was doing all the right things. Today, Lord, help our praise bring life and freedom. Help it to cut through and that it would be contagious. That we would know, God, that you are with us, that you are for us, that your promises are true, that they truly are yes and amen. So, Lord, today, help us to be people that praise in the midst of the hardest of storms, that we know that in those moments is an opportunity for us to preach through our praise. Help us to be reminded that when we praise, freedom comes. Freedom in our lives and freedom to other lives. Help us to know that maybe the thing that's trying to hold us down, the place that's trying to become our prison, can actually be the place of someone else's salvation. That what it feels like everyone else is against us, that we know that you are for us, and as we praise, it is bringing life through us and around us. So Holy Spirit, we ask right now in this place and online that you would equip, that you would empower, that you would fill us anew, that as we leave here today, we would go with an increased faith, an increased boldness, that we would be able to praise in the darkest of storms, not because of our own strength, but because we know we're praising you. Help us to walk in your strength for your glory and for your good. Let us be your ambassadors as we leave here today. We ask all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. And we said together, church, amen, amen. Be blessed and preach through your praise this week. Love you, church.